Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, we should all be prepared to be without power for up to 3 days in the event of another storm, Eowyn. That's according to a new report commissioned by the government. The establishment of community hubs will be formalised and emergency services are to get satellite-based backup communication systems after their two-way systems failed during the storm. This is all according to the report of the Storm Review Group, which was published last night. Let's get more on this now with Michael Fitzmaurice, Independent Ireland TD for Roscommon Galway. Hello, Michael.
Good morning, Claire. How are you?
I'm very well. And we spoke many times, didn't we, over the course of Storm Eowyn and in the aftermath as well. And a lot of the things that you highlighted, the problems that arose, they are addressed in this report, aren't they?
Yeah, well, first of all, I welcome the report. To be quite frank about it, Claire, there's 100 pages in it. I think that the amount of coverage you give it at the given time, all that to do was nearly play back those programmes, and you could have wrote the report in a few days. I do welcome that they see the need for legislation in relation to basically trees through forestry, which we highlighted that 90 to 95% of the problem was created there. And there is problems at the moment. We've seen in the last few weeks in Sligo Leitrim area where there was trees causing a problem, as you covered a few weeks ago in the latest storm. And they were being blocked by an investment company and not allowing them to take down trees. And that legislation needs to be brought forward fast, not talking about it. I do welcome the need for keeping vegetation under control, roadside trees to be brought down to a certain height. We've talked about that many a time. Generators is, you know, it's a no-brainer. But the problem is, Claire, that while everything in the report, there's nothing I don't disagree with on it, I think we should have also looked at innovative ideas in the line of when the storm happened, when Storm Owen happened, we went out, ordinary people in rural areas. I think if communities got involved as well, because in fairness to the council, they don't have the resources. You know, there's plenty of us have diggers and loaders and all of that crack. Mm-hmm. And if there was a formal training done, I think that we need to look at innovative ideas. The sad reality, though, is we're talking about it for 9 months and there's no movement. Today, Claire, if I get a forestry licence, it's the same setback distance as it was 2 years ago, 1 year ago, which is right beside power lines.
So things need to move faster. But you know, I mean, I get that all of that is really important, but that headline that screams out from this is that we all need to be ready now to live without light and heat and power for 72 hours. Is that the right approach, do you think, in basic terms to take to this?
I wouldn't over agree with that for the simple reason. I think that we should be innovative in our ideas to have a grant system for small generators that would keep the basics going. I'm not talking about having a party in a house. I'm talking about keep the basics going, like a bit of a heat and a bit of light. And I think these are things that should be looked at. At the moment, if you look at it, they talk about community hubs. And yes, community hubs are important. But the facts are clear that my understanding, the proposal at the moment is 100 generators for community hubs throughout the country, which if you add up the councils, would be about three in every council area, which would be like take your pick and be lucky in the dip you go in for. And we need to, you know, be looking at things better than that. In the line of, you know, the department that brought out this, our over water infrastructure, be it Irish Water, who are, my understanding is, have got generators in, need to get more. But also you have to think of the group water schemes to make sure. I'm involved in a group water scheme, and I saw the last storm there. We had to scramble again fairly quick to get generators up and running. I do welcome, you know, we know that the emergency services, it came out, I actually said it at the time that there was a problem, it was denied, but now they have admitted and they are building a new system in fairness, and we need to work on the satellites as well, because thankfully mm-hmm. the satellites will work during a storm.
Just on the generators, there's nothing in here, is there, for people who have to who feel now, given the experience of being without power for, 2 weeks, that they had to go out and buy a generator? There's no grant, there's no subvention, no mention of that, is there?
No, the only part of the subvention that came into play, and we were force in it at the time, and in fairness to Minister Hayden, he brought out a 3-week window or a period for farmers that they could get a grant for a generator that weren't in the dairy sector. He brought out that a few months after. But other than that, clear outside that, there is nothing in it. The other part as well, in the, if you look at the average payment, say, under the humanitarian aid,
yes,
I think it's something off the top of my head, because I was trying to zoom through the whole document. I think it's like €240. At the time, and let's be clear on this, people were told, because bear in mind that people were out of power up to 18 days, they were told, whatever you need to do, keep your receipts and we look after you. Now, some of them went through hell and back to try and get a few pounds. And we shouldn't put out misinformation if we're not going to look after people properly. Because, to be quite honest about it, Claire, we got a direction from the department, and we went on radio, on your radio and other radio stations, to tell people that if they had no power, they could go to a hotel or whatever. Some of them people had to fight tooth and nail to try and get even a few pounds to cover them, not their total. And we were left looking like fools, to be quite frank about it, as politicians.
Because you told them to do it in the first place.
Yeah.
Then on the issue of vulnerable people, and the report says there's a high degree of reluctance by organisations to take on additional responsibility for data sharing of any personal details on vulnerable persons. So people who might need extra help, there's an issue around different organisations sharing that information. And you can understand that, because it could be sensitive medical information and the individuals mightn't want other people knowing about that, other than, you know, essential organisations that they deal with in normal times. You think there should be a register, do you, of vulnerable people?
Yeah, I'm a firm believer that, look at it, we've seen people that would have hospital beds that needed basically electricity to lift them up and lift them down. We saw people on dialysis, home dialysis. We saw people that were left basically high and dry, elderly people, or people that got strokes. And I think that there needs to be a coordination between, and it needs to be, you know, this needs to be rolled out pretty rapid, that the HSE and the ESB needs to be involved to keep that up to date. Because let's face it, if you're a person living on your own and you happen to get a stroke, the last thing you will think of is ringing the ESB to say, I'm a vulnerable person. You're trying to survive, or you're trying to live, and it's the last thing you think of. So we need someone to, or some, say, some joint up thinking to make sure that we have an up-to-date register of people that are vulnerable, to make sure that they're fully protected in times like this.
Mm-hmm. But you'd have to ask each individual for permission, wouldn't you, to share that information?
Well, it all depends. It depends on the capacity of a person. If a person got a stroke and were in bad shape, obviously there should be a system where the state can do it. But I don't see people having a problem if they were asked when they'd be in hospital. And you have to also think of people, say, that are getting chemotherapy or suffering from different problems, that are vulnerable at a given time. That you should also, I think the HSE has it in their grasp to be able to tick that box, to be able to feed that information on. Because in fairness to those people, I think that if it's explained to them that they're, you know, at a vulnerable stage if something happened, and that they need support, I think that they wouldn't be obstructing it too much, to be quite frank about it.
Yeah, but you probably would need their permission to share
that
medical information with a non-health organisation.
Well, and all you'd be saying, you're not going to be dealing with, you're not going to be sharing their medical information. What you'd be putting them in is that they're vulnerable. That mm-hmm. doesn't mean that you know what's wrong with them. It doesn't mean anything. A vulnerable person can be, say, undergoing cancer treatment. They could be a person that got a stroke. They could be all different varieties of things.
Yes.
You don't know what they are, but if it's a category of vulnerable, I don't think people have a problem with that.
I suppose that with all of this, the timeline is the issue, and we hear the same thing when it comes to certain areas of Cork where they've had flooding in the past, and they're saying, please help us now before this happens again. It's the same with this as we head into the winter again. Things need to happen at a pace, don't they?
Well, the first thing is that we saw a few weeks ago, and you covered it, the last storm, and there was areas, look at around my own area here, we were 3 or 4 days without power. And The same things, the same common denominators are the problem. So what needs to happen? There's no good as talking about it. There's no good as doing a report and leaving it above on a shelf gathered in dust. What needs to happen is the legislation for the likes of the ESB to do their job. Irish Water need to be basically made and told, this is what you got to do, guys. We need to make sure that the likes of the councils are resourced and given enough of funding on the line of roadside trees. And we need to move this on. And the other part, I just cannot for the life of me understand. The Department of Agriculture has it in their grasp because they are over the forestry licenses. They could have changed that a month after if they wanted. There's no reason whatsoever for that in the line of the setback distances of trees where forestry is being done. And I think they should have moved on that immediately and shouldn't be even waiting for this report. This should be done. You know, we know the problems. You've covered them time and time again. You don't have to be a genius to know what you've come up with. I'm not saying you're going to be bulletproof and everything. Mm-hmm. But in my opinion, the 72 hours that you talk about would be a hell of a lot less people if we had the forestry corridors, if we had the trees that are causing the problems taken out, because that has been, in my opinion, 90 to 95% of the problem.
All right, we'll leave it there. Michael Fitzmaurice, thanks for joining us this morning on the programme. Independent Ireland TD for Roscommon Galway. A reminder that coming up later on now this morning, Dr. Maura Finn will be with us here in the studio. Maura is going to be talking about sleep, and she'll also be taking all of your sleep-related questions. So if you're worried about how long you're sleeping for, how long it takes you to get to sleep, perhaps you're not sure if you're getting quality sleep when you get your head down, you still have plenty of time to get your questions into us on WhatsApp. The number is 0870 32 32 32 or 51551 for your text messages. If you prefer to email, the address is todaycb@rte.ie. I see now that sad news that Father Dermot McCarthy, who was formerly head of religious programming here in RTE, has died at the age of 83. And I'm sure there are plenty of people listening who will remember Father McCarthy, as I do myself in the radio centre. I would see him there many's a time because he was still very involved as a chaplain here in RTE in those days. And he was a huge influence in the early days of television production in Ireland. And he was part of that team who made Ryark, which is a series I know many of you will remember as well. He was originally from Leitrim and he held the position as administrator of the Pro Cathedral in Dublin for 16 years before he moved to RTE in the 1960s. So our sympathies to the family and friends of Father Dermot McCarthy, who has died at the age of 83.